Hello, critics, non-critics, and friends. Welcome to the Film Optics Podcast, where we take a glance into blockbusters, indie films, and everything in between. I'm your host, Christian, and as always, I'm joined by my partner in film, Devin. He is back from his nice little vacation over in Florida. And today we're going to be sharing our spoiler-free thoughts and opinions on the latest film titled Abigail by Radio Silence. It is a directing duo. And before we begin today's episode, you can listen to our podcast on podcast platforms around the internet. That includes Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. And if you are a new or seasoned listener to the show, we would love to hear from you guys. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Threads at Film Optics. That is Optics with an X. Or you can email us at filmoptics@gmail.com for any movie-related questions. Devin, what's going on? You're finally back from vacation. This is take two for us.
Yeah, round two.
Round two. But Devin, how was your trip to Florida? You were there for about a week, weren't you?
Oh yeah. Did the old Disney World routine and then Universal, and then we confirmed that Universal is in fact better than Disney. It's just kind of how the cookie crumbles, especially if you're an adult. I mean, if you have kids, obviously you're going to take them to Disney. That's just kind of the rite of passage. I was there about 15 years ago. It's the last time we were there. But yeah, especially as a Harry Potter fan, you just got to go to Universal. Like, it's, they just recreated Hogsmeade from the ground up.
Dude, I've never been, and much like you, the last time I went was around 15 years ago. I was like 12. So, you know, none of this was here. Marvel wasn't acquired by Disney. Back then, I was, you know, 12 years old. That was like
the funny part is there's actually Marvel rides at Universal still, despite Disney owning Marvel. They have a huge Marvel section of the park.
Hey, they're just trying to remind people, like, hey, you know, it's okay if you just skip Disney World altogether. We're still gonna have some Marvel-esque things here. But I gotta ask you really quick. So now that we've kind of confirmed, at least, you know, from you saying that Universal is better than Disney, is that true for, like, people our age, like young millennials, or would you say that, I guess it depends on if you're a Disney adult or not? Because I know there's like a lot of Disney adults out there who will eat up anything at Disneyland. I've seen photos, I've seen pictures. So did you run into any?
It just depends on like what you're there for. I mean, if you're there for the rides and things, then Universal is just better. They just have better rides. Like the roller coasters are just more advanced and just a lot cooler. Mm. Like the best roller coaster at Disney World was the Tron one, which came out recently. It's actually a really cool coaster. But then the first ride we go on at Universal is the Hulk coaster. And we're like, okay, that was amazing. It's already better than the best Disney coaster.
Wow, look at you.
So it's like if you're there for the thrill ride, like, it's got to be Universal. But then Disney just definitely has more of the meet and greets, like if you really want to meet the characters and costume and all that.
Okay, so did you meet Din Djarin, the Mandalorian?
I didn't see Mando walking around. I saw some stormtroopers. Obviously, they're going to be walking around everywhere. I did meet Max Goof. I saw him post up in the corner, so I went and got a picture with Max Goof, the childhood icon.
Man, Devin's got all the connections with the celebrities down in Florida. It's crazy. And it actually kind of sucks because it would have been awesome if you were at Disney World the same time that Sydney Sweeney was there. Because I believe you, in our last recording, you had said that you had missed her by like a week, right?
We were so close. I just couldn't coordinate with her. I was trying to text her just to get it all figured out, but just didn't work out.
Manager wasn't texting me back. My people call your people my butt.
Maybe next time, Sid.
Yeah. You're here to hear first on the Film Optics Podcast. Devin calling out Sydney Sweeney.
Got to shoot your shot.
Yeah, you got to shoot your shot. Hey, we saw Immaculate. She was great in that, you know. Hey, we try to lift her up, you know. Like, we do all these reviews, like, with all of her, like, her filmography, and this is how she repays us. Or this is how she repays you. This is deeply concerning. But all jokes aside, I'm glad that you had a great time in Florida, man. It's been kind of quiet on my side, but I have been going back to the theater a little bit more often than not as of lately, because for anyone who doesn't know, Columbia Pictures, which is a Sony company, they're celebrating their 100th year anniversary by re-releasing all the Spider-Man or the live-action Spider-Man movies back into theaters. So last week, I got to see the OG Spider-Man, Sam Raimi, on the silver screen again, which was it was just a great time. And I'm going to go this coming up week for Spider-Man 2, and then I'm going to do for the following week for Spider-Man 3. I hate to say this, but I'm probably going to miss those Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2 movies just because, like, they're just not my favorite, and it's no shade to Andrew Garfield whatsoever. It's just those movies are just I'm good. Even if these tickets are only $5 a piece, yes, $5 a piece, which is awesome. Definitely catch these movies in theaters while you can. I think it's a great way. I think that's a great way to re-release movies back into theaters, is to make the tickets cheap as possible, like $5. Like, people will come and eat that stuff up. And I know they're doing the same thing with for Shrek 2, but I don't know how much those ticket prices are. But yeah, outside of that, yeah, I've just been watching some Planet of the Apes prequel trilogy. I just finished War of the Planet of the Apes last night to finish that off, and it's just so good, man. Like, you can't help but cry, and I'm very excited for Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. It's definitely one of my most anticipated blockbusters of this year. So, yeah, while you were, you know, doing some meet and greets with Max Goof, I was just, you know, on my bum watching apes take care of business. But
there you go.
Yeah. So it's been fun so far. I actually scored really quick. I think I sent you the message, you know, since The Strangers is coming out, the reboot. Well, this is like chapter one. So I guess, is it three chapters or two chapters they're splitting it into for the reboot?
Apparently it's going to be three in this year.
Three this year? Oh, the year of The Strangers.
That's what I saw.
Oh, boy. So I found the first Strangers movie on Blu-ray and the second one. So I'm going to watch those beforehand as well to kind of just get myself into a Strangers mood. Very excited.
Have you not seen the first one already?
I have, but it's been a very long time. I think the first one came out in like 2008, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it came out around there.
Yeah, around that time. So yeah, I remember when it first came out and I was like, this is so scary, but it's not like, you know, demonic or like ghost scary. This is just,
it's real life scary, which is the most scary there is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, like, why are you doing this? Because you're here. And I'm like, what? what do you mean? Like, there's no motive. They're just, it's crazy. Yeah. So I'm very excited for that as well. I was trying to find the original Planet of the Apes movies at this like local like media store here in town, and they didn't have any. But I was looking at Nintendo 3DSs because I'm like, I kind of want one because I've tried other means to play those games and it's just not working out. Guess how much they're selling used 3DSs for?
$20.
$20. I wish it was $20. I would have bought 20 of them. No, I'm joking. No, they were running for between $300 and $350 for.
So this is an original DS, you said? Or a 3DS?
A 3DS. Like the 3DS XL.
I don't understand that.
I don't understand it either, bro. Like, it's, I was looking around and I'm like, I think our store here in town is definitely jacking up the prices there. They're a little overpriced for my tastes. I'm like, you know, these things should be no more than like $100 to $150, you know? But that's how the American market is with Nintendo, with legacy Nintendo hardware and software. It's very weird, but maybe one day. But I did pick up Mario Wonder. Had some nice little, had some credit built up at this place. And I was trading in some things for a while. And I had a nice bit of pocket change. So I splurged and got the first two Strangers movies. They were like $10 each. On Blu-ray. I almost bought the DVD, but then I found the Blu-ray. I was like, oh, thank God. I don't want to watch Blurry Strangers. And then I bought Super Mario Brothers Wonder, which was around $50 used. So I think I made out with $6 paid out of pocket. So not too bad. Not bad at all.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, that's how you do it. That's how the game is played. But enough chitter-chatter, Devin. We have a movie to talk about here. As we mentioned before, we're going to be giving our spoiler-free review of Abigail. So without further delay, we will be right back after this introduction to Abigail.
We kidnapped a vampire. A ballerina vampire.
Someone has been messing with us ever since we got here, right? It's got to be some kind of trick.
We gotta get out of here. There's gotta be another way.
No, I checked all the other doors. This is some kind of magnetically sealed locks, and these shutters are 2 inches thick. You think you can hack the locks?
With what internet?
I don't know. You can't do it manually?
Well, even if I could, I don't have any equipment. You know, there's gotta be like a control room or something.
Okay. What do we know about vampires?
That they're not real.
What are we talking about? Like an Anne Rice or a True Blood? You know, Twilight? Very different kind of vampires.
And we are back with our spoiler-free review of Abigail. You just heard a little snippet from the movie. Hope that got you a little excited to see this, because it is a wild time. But this film is directed by Radio Silence. Again, that is a group of directors, or a team of directors of two, and that includes Tyler Gillett and Matt Bettinelli Oplin. And the writers include Stephen Shields and Guy Busick, and stars Marissa Barrera, Dan Stevens, Alicia Ware. We have the late Angus Young playing his final role in this film, Catherine Newton, Kevin Durand, and so much more, including Giancarlo Esposito. So yeah, this cast, there's not a lot of cast members. I think it's around like 10, 9, but it's a pretty stacked cast if you ask me altogether. So we're just going to dive straight on in. I'm going to pass it over to Devin so he can give his spoiler-free thoughts on Abigail.
Yeah, going into this one, I remember the trailer first came out on Twitter and watching it and just being very excited for this one. Obviously, we are both pretty big Radio Silence fans since the Ready or Not days. That's where it all started. And I feel like Ready or Not was just a surprise smash hit that no one really saw coming. And it launched a career for these guys. And then they went on to do Scream 5 and 6, which are both a lot of fun. And now we have Abigail, which is definitely a nice new kind of IP they can work with, a new idea, creative, fresh take on a, I guess, like a heist monster movie, you can call it. Because at the end of the day, it's just a really, really bloody fun time where you have a vampire ballerina, which is not something you see every day. I do remember in The Cabin in the Woods, there was a vampire ballerina there. Maybe they got inspiration from that, but
yeah,
just kind of a cool concept and really executed well. The actress that plays Abigail, Alicia Weir, is great. Definitely steals the show. And Melissa Barrera is great as always. Dan Stevens. It's the year of Dan Stevens. Like, we just have to accept that by now. He's taking over this year and he's having a lot of fun doing it. And you can tell how much fun he's having because he's just eating it all up. And it's just great to watch. And then Catherine Newton as well, becoming a bit of a scream queen herself with quite the resume of horror movies so far under her belt. So definitely good to see her. And apparently there were some people out there that were thinking this was a remake of an old like 30s movie called The Vampire's Daughter, but apparently it's not really related at all because I got debunked. So not sure where that came from, but It's good to know that it's more of an original concept and not an attempt at a remake.
That is interesting. Yeah, I remember you sharing that with me the other day, and I'm kind of glad. You know how internet noise can be, you know, something random could happen on Reddit, and then, you know, somewhere out there in the ether, it like someone passes it off as like a fact, but yep. It's weird because, you know, there are some people when it comes to specific movies, not even just seeing this movie specifically, but, you know, just in general, like you can see it with video games and stuff, like people spread misinformation in order to, you know, make the film and or game or whatever it may be, the property look as bad as possible, which is just... That never really made any sense to me, where it's just like, why waste that much time on something that's, you know, boom, like just a flat out lie. But as far as my initial thoughts for Abigail goes, as Devin had mentioned, you know, this is the fourth film that we have been exposed to when it comes to Radio Silence. Of course, they have done other smaller projects in the past, but as he had mentioned, you know, Ready or Not really jump-started their careers into the horror genre. And I absolutely loved it. Unfortunately, I was not able to go to my screening on, I believe it was the Wednesday before like the Thursday previews, but I did go the next day on Thursday, right after work. And I loved it. This movie is just under 2 hours, and so much happens where it does have a bit of a slow start. It is that criminals kidnapping a ballerina daughter of like a powerful underworld figure, and they retreats like this mansion where, you know, they're locked inside with not your so much normal little girl. And of course, if you've seen the trailers, it shows that Abigail is a vampire. She is a, what, 12-year-old girl, maybe 13 years old, and is slicing and dicing, ripping heads and tearing them to shreds. And I think it's such a cool concept that we were able to get this, because the little girl who plays Abigail, Alicia Ware, as Devin mentioned earlier, she did a fantastic job. And she played that role to a T. Everyone in this film, when it comes to the cast, just has the greatest chemistry you could possibly ever have for a horror film like this, especially with Angus Cloud, with this being his last performance on film, as we know of. I believe this is like his last performance before his passing. But back to Alicia Ware, you know, she ate up every single scene. You know, she's playing this innocent girl and is effectively, you know, manipulating these characters, these heist members, into this weird situation. But also for Alicia Ware, if you have not seen her work before, definitely check out Matilda the Musical. It's on Netflix. She did it a few years ago. I believe it was about a year or two ago. It is fantastic. And she is great in that as well. And that kind of just, you know, giving her compliments to what she's done in the past and, you know, where she's heading next with her career with, of course, which is Abigail. That's like the biggest 360 or like 180 turn I've ever like seen. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do this Matilda the Musical. And like, oh, my next project is going to be Abigail, where I'm playing this bloodthirsty vampire.
She likes to dance.
She does like to dance. Yeah, that's one thing. It's like, hey, you're not just a vampire. You're a dancing vampire. You're a dancing vampire. How does that sound? And she's like, where do I sign? But as I mentioned before, yeah, it's like Devin said, it is a bloody good time. I love the twists and turns of this film, and not knowing where the story was going to go is something that we very rarely see in films nowadays. And as far as we can tell, this is a completely just a original property. I think we can kind of, you know, count that off as an original film from Radio Silence. And of course, what Devin was saying with their work with Ready or Not, this definitely has that vibe, that feel, but it's a different type of film where you know, with the ready or not, it's this, you know, you're playing hide and seek, but it's life or death. This is also obviously life or death because they're, you know, facing off against a teenage vampire. You know, this isn't like your usual True Blood.
Well, it's kind of like life or more life, because you can become a vampire and live forever.
So, Devin, I have to ask you, would you turn? Would you let someone turn you?
I mean, if it's between that or death, then yeah, sure, why not?
Well, obviously, yeah, between that. But, like, would you willingly just do it to be like, hey, you know, I've heard you can do some cool stuff.
I feel like it's a tough life at the end of the day. There's no sunlight, no garlic. Onions are fine, though.
Onions are fine.
They're safe.
Yeah, and word on the street is apparently it takes a long time to do like all the cool stuff when you're a vampire, at least from what I've heard.
Yeah, you gotta learn.
Yeah, you can't just be bitten and then like expect to like mind control someone or, you know, fly or turn into a bat. Like, vampires live a very long time. But yeah, there's also caveats with that. It's like, man, it's like, okay, what kind of vampire are we talking here? Are we talking Castlevania vampire? Are we talking, you know, the vampires in Abigail with Alicia Ware, with her being the main focus of the vampires? Or, I don't know, are we talking Count Chocula? You know what I mean? Like, that's...
or the Count.
The Count.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. But
or the shiny ones.
Yeah, the shiny ones. The diamond ones shine bright like a diamond. But all that to say, I really did enjoy this film. I know that we kind of brought this up in our aforementioned first take of our review, but when it comes to the ending, and I know Devin kind of mentioned this off air, I believe you were saying, I think one of the gripes you had is that you love Radio Silence's movies, and you weren't super keen on the ending of Scream 6. But are you still feeling the same way for the ending for Abigail versus like something like Ready or Not or Scream 5? Like, does that still, now that we've basically had a few more days to think about it?
Yeah, I do think that's an area that I would like them to kind of improve on a little bit, because I feel like the ending for Scream 6 and the ending for Abigail just didn't really work for me. For Abigail, it just felt like they didn't know how to end it. It just kind of ended in a certain way, to a degree, without spoiling anything. But it's like they kind of tried to go with the Ready or Not style ending, but it didn't really feel the same, because Ready or Not just kind of did it better, I feel like. So it's definitely something I'd like to see them work on, just kind of having more definitive like endings to their movies.
That's true. And we've actually noticed this with a lot of films in recent years, particularly A24's filmography, where a lot of their earlier films, they kind of just end. I'm not sure if you ever saw Waves from A24, but it really felt like two movies that was kind of like mashed into one, and it kind of just ended. Same thing with like The Green Knight, The Farewell. I think The Farewell had more of like it was kind of like a lingering A24 ending, but you also have really good endings from A24, like The Iron Claw, which I think is pretty cool. But when it comes to Abigail, I think the ending was good enough where it's like, okay, you know, everything has been revealed. All the craziness is over. There's a lot of red herrings, twists and turns. But it's more of just, hey, you know, like, yeah, the movie's over. But I think it is a little tough to end a movie like that, because even with X, when we saw that movie kind of just, it has a similar ending to Abigail, if you really think about it. Or just, yeah, in a way it does. But the ending is the ending. It's not like terrible or anything. It's just, you know, so much happens in this movie where you're taking on this wild ride, and then for it to all just to end, and it's like, okay, yeah, like now we're done. And then it's like, oh, okay. But it was written very well. I will give it that. Like, the only negative, I think, I do agree with you, Devin, is that, you know, the ending is fine. It's just, could it have been better? Probably. But I'm trying to think how they would end it. Because it's like, do they make a similar movie like this? Do they make a sequel? Do they keep it a self-contained story? I'd much rather it probably be a self-contained story, but I don't know. Those are just a few food for thoughts.
I think we can get a Meg and Abigail crossover.
Yeah, a lot of people were comparing this to Megan, and I mean, you know, Killer Girl, similarities there for sure. But I think I did enjoy this more than Megan. Have you seen the unrated version of Megan yet?
I think I watched that when it first came out on whatever it was, Peacock.
What was it, any significantly different than like the theatrical cut of Megan?
It wasn't too different. I didn't really notice too much difference, but it's definitely an entertaining one.
Okay. But yeah, you know, there's a lot of similarities online when it comes to Abigail and Megan. I think they're both great altogether. I think within recent years, we've been having a lot of great horror films. Even this year alone with Immaculate, and now, of course, with Abigail. And, of course, Devin's favorite horror film of the year, Night Swim, came out in January.
Oh, yeah.
Can't stop talking about it.
I actually did watch Late Night with the Devil last night. Another good one this year. Yeah, it's on Shudder now. That was it was a nice, quick, short, good time. Nice and easy. Some cool effects in there too.
Yeah, it was pretty freaky. I actually ended up watching it at home as well a few weeks ago. And Devin already knows. Usually when it comes to like possession movies, I'm out. Like, no, I'm good. I don't care if people are talking about how good the first Omen is right now in theaters, but but yeah, Late Night with the Devil was pretty cool. It was kind of freaky, but yeah, we've been on a great horror kick altogether when it comes to just horror films. And I think there's a resurgence in this genre. And I think a lot of people enjoy making films in this genre because you can play around with it. There's so many avenues you can take with a horror movie. Well, it's crazy.
Speaking of taking avenues, right on the streets of Twitter is that a lot of people think that Radio Silence and the marketing crew of this movie, they should have taken the avenue of not revealing that Abigail is a vampire ballerina and saved that for a shocking reveal in the movie itself instead of showing it in trailers and marketing and whatnot. Kind of curious what you think about that, because to me, it's like, that's the main selling point of the movie, is that it's a vampire ballerina. Like, just those two words together kind of do a lot of selling of the movie. And it's like, if you had a vague trailer that didn't show anything, I don't know if people would have been in the seats for it the opening weekend. Just kind of having that concept is what draws people in, and I think that's an important part. You'd have had to like change the title and everything too, I think.
Yeah, at that point, it's almost as if, and we've seen this with a lot of trailers where people complain that studios are misleading their audience to go see a movie in theaters. And we've seen this a lot with the musical standpoint. You know, we've had movies like The Color Purple remake. That's a musical. They didn't really market it too much in the trailer, but I mean, it's there. Same thing with Wonka. Same thing with the Mean Girls. I almost said Green Girls. The Mean Girls musical. And then, of course, we have Wicked Part 2 coming out later this year. And I think to your point, what people are saying on the streets, the word on the street, I disagree with that. Keeping Abigail's identity as a vampire secret is not the right move. Because, like you said, you need to have a selling point for this movie. And the fact that Abigail is revealed to be a vampire is literally just the first layer of the cake. There are so many twists and turns that you find out in this movie. And it's like, that's not even the main takeaway. The main takeaway is not that Abigail is a vampire. There's so much more within this hour and 50 minute run of a movie where, like I said before, I didn't know where they were really going And I kind of had my theories, but like they went a different direction as to, I was like, wow, this is awesome. It pretty much gave me everything that I didn't know that I needed coming out of this movie, with it being like a vampire movie. And we don't get a lot of vampire properties or just vampire stories recently. You know, I think the recently was, what was it, last year, Renfield? Like, that was like a funny vampire situation. But this is more, I guess you could call it realistic. Like, there is comedic beats in here, but it does have a sense of danger. But, yeah, I have to disagree with the streets on that one. Because, like you said, how are you supposed to market this movie if you're not able to tell people what it's, like, what the general plot synopsis is? And I think using the film of Damsel, and this is, it's going to be a weird comparison, but work with me. The whole marketing of Damsel, that whole movie is surrounded around a one giant act that puts Millie Bobby Brown's character in a certain situation. And you see that in the trailer. You see that she gets married to this prince, and then they get married on the top of like this like cratering volcano mountain type situation. And then after they're married, he throws her into this pit. Like that is the big twist of the movie, where it's like, okay, everything after that, it's Millie Bobby Brown's character trying to survive. There's no real substance after that, where you get a little bit of the backstory of her facing this dragon and why the dragon is there. Like, there's another small little reveal, but that's like basically the whole movie. Like, they're basically showing the entire movie in that trailer for Damsel. For Abigail, you're only showing not even the first act. It's really just like one quarter of the film, saying, okay, we're going to give you a little bit of information on Abigail, and that she's a vampire, and that she's, you know, running around killing these folks, but we're not going to tell you why, and we're not going to reveal any other plot points beyond that. And I think it's done a great job of marketing it, because even with Monkey Man, that movie, where what's the biggest takeaway? Not even the takeaway, but like the biggest selling point is, oh, it's John Wick, but in Mumbai. It's like, okay, that's all I need to know. And it's the same thing with Abigail. I literally was texting one of my friends about this the other day, because they asked me, have I seen any movies lately? I'm like, yeah, I went to go see Abigail last week. They're like, oh, what is that? I'm like, oh, it's a horror movie about a ballerina vampire. And they're like, oh my God, that sounds amazing. And I'm like, yeah, you should totally go check it out. And like that's a great selling point. Why would you not want to tell people that?
Yeah, that's the selling point.
That yeah, exactly. That is the selling point. It's not saying that Abigail is a vampire does not give anything away from the movie, unless you are a person who just walked into the theater on a random Thursday or Friday during the weekend and was like, hey, you know, I'm looking for something new. I don't want to see a blockbuster. I already saw Dune Part 2. I already saw Godzilla, X-Kong, New Empire, or Ghostbusters. Like, I want to see a non-blockbustery film. Like, what else is out there? And this is very rare for a general audience member to do. But, like, that's the only time I can think of someone being genuinely surprised tenfold. It's just going into Abigail completely blind, not knowing what it's about. And I know it's very hard for us to do that nowadays, because there's marketing everywhere for these films. But I saw the trailer once for Abigail, and I was like, okay, I'm sold. Like 1,000%, you know, especially after the Scream drama, the Scream franchise drama over at Paramount. You know, Radio Silence has taken their talents elsewhere, and Melissa Barrera as well. But apparently she was only slated for two movies for Scream anyway. But yeah, the marketing for Abigail as a Vampire needs to be as it is, because like you said, it's going to be a very dull trailer if you can't give if you can't give the audience any type of information of what this movie is about, then you're not doing your job. They're doing their job by selling this as a ballerina vampire slasher, almost, in a way, like whodunit type of situation, which is kind of similar to Ready or Not. But it's like when Ready or Not, like, you know who the killers are. Like, it's the same thing with that. What are they not supposed to tell you in Ready or Not? That, oh, you know, this girl gets married and to this monolith billion-dollar family, and, you know, they make their success off card games, and the Ready or Not situation is that, you know, if you survive the night, then, you know, you're a part of the family. Like, that was all in the trailer. But there was more to it than that. So I think Abigail is following those footsteps of Ready or Not. But that's just a long-winded explanation as to say, no, they should keep the marketing as is. And people who are complaining about that need to go somewhere else because that's crazy. But with all that long-winded explanation out of the way, let's get into our final thoughts and our ratings here. Devin, I'm going to pass it over to you so you can give your final thoughts and ratings for Abigail.
Yeah, final thoughts on this one. It's just a really, really fun, bloody good time. Rated R horror. Always gets the thumbs up from me because you can just do so much more. There's so much freedom in the storytelling and the visuals especially. Just so much more interesting to look at when there's blood and guts and gore going on everywhere. So if you're into a lot of blood, then if you don't like looking at blood, then you might not want to watch this one. But it's a very, very bloody movie, like the bloodiest they've ever made for sure. So definitely a good time. Great cast, great writing. A lot of good jokes in there. Very funny. More funny than I was expecting, to be honest. Yeah. But as far as the score goes, like I mentioned before, I wish the ending was a little bit more well thought out. Just kind of felt like they didn't really know how to end it, and they just kind of stuck it at that. So I'd probably give it like a 78 overall. Just like a really, really fun time, but not quite whole.
Yeah, you hit on some great points there. I think a 78 is, out of 100 is fair, although I'm actually going to go with an 85 out of 100 just because I enjoyed it so much that, you know, there's so many movies that come out per year, and I try to give these movies their flowers while they're releasing, so long as they're not called Rebel Moon. But it, all jokes aside, giving it an 85
started.
I got an hour left of part two. I'll save that for a rainy day at some point. But as I was saying, 85 out of 100 for me. Like Devin said, this is a bloody good time. I think you should definitely take your friends to go see this. I would definitely see this again, but it would have to be with friends. I don't know if I rewatch this again outside of knowing everything that happens, unless there's like small things I might have missed, because I think that factors into the rewatchability of a movie where you can watch it, you know, multiple times over and still find small little details of things you might have missed prior. But definitely will watch this with friends again. And I mean, I would own it on Blu-ray because it is like one of those spooky movies that you can kind of throw on during the spooky season, and it kind of just gets you in the mood. You know, it has those Ready or Not vibes, and hopefully we get a second Ready or Not movie, but we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, a 78 out of 100 from Devin and an 85 out of 100 from me, which gives our podcast score the score of 81.5% out of 100 is going to be our official podcast score for Abigail. And with all that said, that concludes today's episode. If you enjoyed what you heard, make sure to subscribe to our podcast on your preferred podcast platform of choice. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads at Film Optics. That is Optics with an X. And don't forget to share an episode of our podcast with a movie lover, whether it be your mother, your brother, or your significant other. Spread the love. for the Film Optics podcast. And now let's take a sneak peek at what's coming up next on the show and what you can listen to as of right now. So for what you can listen to as of right now, you can check out our A24's Civil War review that I covered with Amanda over at AMX NDA Reviews. You can also check out our Monkey Man review, which Devin and I covered together, as well as our Immaculate review. We got to plug in the other horror film that we recently watched, which was amazing. Cindy Sweeney, definitely call back Devin. He's waiting on that call. Maybe you guys can go to Disneyland together instead of Disney World, and you know,
whatever she wants.
Whatever she wants. And of course, you can check out our Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire review. Those are just a few episodes that you can listen to as of right now. And for upcoming releases, we are going to be covering Shogun Season 1 as soon as that series has wrapped up in its finality, as well as X-Men 97. We're watching that every single week, so we're going to be doing a full Season 1 coverage review once that season wraps up. And we're also going to be covering the movie Challengers. Zendaya is back and better than ever. And I think we're going to try to cover the docuseries Quiet on Set, because I think that's very important for people to know about. I think everyone should watch it. It is an eye-opening experience, especially for parents who have children who want to enter the entertainment industry. But with all that said, thank you all for listening. If you enjoy the show, please take a moment to leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, all that social media garbage for the latest updates. That was Devin, and I'm Christian, signing off. And remember, life is like a movie, so go out there and make it a blockbuster.
Peace.